Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey there, my friends. Welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 303 of the Wanna Be Clutter Free podcast. If you are new here, welcome. I am so glad you found this little corner of the internet or the podsphere, wherever you are. This podcast is all about helping families declutter so that they can live more intentionally. And if you've been here for a while, well, then you know that I like to say that joy is the fuel, not the reward. We are not just trying to have pretty homes. We are trying to have lives that we actually love living in, right? A home, a life that you don't have to take a vacation from, a home that fills you up at the end of a very busy day. That's what it's all about. It's not about keeping up with the Joneses or taking Pinterest perfect pictures or feeling like we live in a magazine spread. It's whatever floats your boat and makes your home lift you up and feel like the sanctuary that supports you and your family. All right, in today's episode, it is a solo one, and I am excited about this topic because I feel like I talk about it a lot, but I don't know that I've ever dedicated an entire episode to it. So we are going to talk about routines. I know I've had lots of guests on talking about routines. I know I've talked about routines in my summits, but I don't know if I have ever done a podcast episode about it, which is kind of crazy considering we are at 303. I mean, maybe way back early in the day I did, but it's time to dedicate another one to it. So why do routines matter? Why do most of them not stick? How does building the right routine, how can that completely change the way your home feels? These are the things that we are going to be talking about today. But before we dive in, a couple quick things. If this is your first time listening, well, please hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. New episodes drop every Wednesday, and I would love for you to come, one, listen to this on the podcast player of your choice, or you can find it on YouTube as well, or come hang out with me on Instagram. I am at wannabeclutterfree over there, and I share tips behind the scenes and honestly a lot of real life over there, right? I don't want us to feel like we have to be perfect to show up as our full authentic selves. All right, links to everything, of course, are in the show notes, so let's get right into it. So I want to start with a question, and I want you to really sit with it for a second. How many times have you looked around your house at the end of the day and felt just a heaviness? And it's starting to feel familiar, which you don't really love, because you did a lot today, right? You woke up, you got yourself ready, you fed people, you worked, you kept small humans alive, big humans alive, yourself. You probably drove to school drop-off. You probably picked kids up. You probably drove them to activities or extracurriculars. You were the sounding board after school, when someone needed to talk through a drama, you know, something dramatic that happened at school today, good, bad, whatever. You have done a lot. And yet at the end of the day, we will still look around and we'll feel like we're behind. We'll feel like our home is working against us instead of for us. I have been there, and a lot of us have. That's why I say us, because it's something that I really struggled with for a while. And I have come to believe, after years of decluttering, talking to thousands of people about this on the podcast, in real life, in my courses, to my students, and honestly just living in it, that the clutter you see on your counters or in your closets or in your living room or on the dining table is really just a symptom of something deeper. It is a system problem, or really it's a lack of a system, right? So we just need to have the right systems and routines in place in order to help us through these tough days, these tough times of life. And I feel like, you know, as you become a mom, you're in that part of your life. A lot of us kind of go through a dip. There's like a happiness dip, like science proves this, that we're like super happy in our, you know, teen. Well, I mean, there's always drama, but like things are a little bit lighter, so we're a little bit happier in like our teens and 20s. Like it's going up. I'm going to try this way. I don't know which way is going to be right for you. So it's going up, right? And then we have kids and we hit kind of our midlife and it dips, and it dips for your 40s and 50s. And then it starts to peak back up. And so I'm 46. I'm in the middle of this like dip. And I just feel like I need so much more joy in my life. And one of the things that has helped me do this is to have routines in place to deal with the mundane and just the things that have to happen on a regular basis so that I make room for the space. So I make space for joy. So that I'm happier at the end of the day. I know I'm still in that trough of life, but I want my trough to be just like a little divot. I don't want it to be this deep valley that I have to make my way through. I'm trying to raise the floor. Let's do that, okay? So I want to tell you about a season of my life where no matter what was happening, like the clutter just and the chaos just kept coming back. And it has to do a lot when I'm really busy with work. And it might surprise you because it's within this time of my life, right? Like within the time that I'm actually recording these podcasts and I'm doing this work and I'm helping other people. And what I find is when my work gets really crazy, my life systems start to go to the wayside, right? We don't eat as healthy because I'm cooking faster things. We're eating out more. I'm not cleaning the house as much because I'm just like, I don't have time for that. I'm going to put it on the back burner. And things I could do to help get myself out of that would be order a meal plan kit. I love those. And I remind myself to do that when life gets busy, or hire a housekeeper, someone to come clean my house once a month. And it doesn't have to be these crazy systems. It doesn't have to be something that we do all the time. And I know that that's not always accessible for everyone. So we're going to talk about that today. But I have had moments where life just gets busy and you can't plan it and it just happens. And like I call it that frog in the pot of boiling water, like where I'm okay. You know, oh, it's getting a little toasty in here, but I'm still fine. And then all of a sudden the water around me is boiling and I am freaking out. And so, you know, life would happen. I would start to get crazy. Then I would start to get snappy with my kid, with my daughter. And, you know, my husband and I would kind of be at him and every little thing he did would start to drive me a little crazy. But then I would spend Saturday finally getting it together. And then by the next weekend, though, like the next week would happen and things would be crazy again. And I would just be running myself ragged. And then the next weekend, I'd do the whole marathon session again. Like I was the weekend warrior. I was that person on the weekends doing everything. But then I figured out that decluttering without routines was kind of like mopping my floor with dirty water. Yes, I was mopping my floor, so it was getting a little bit better, but I was kind of just spreading the dirt around. I wasn't emptying the bucket, getting clean water, and then doing a proper job. I was just putting band-aids on it over and over and over again. But when you finally get the clean water, you aren't just managing the mess. You're not just cleaning, like moving the dirt around. You're actually solving it. You're actually cleaning the floor, right? And so routines are like this. Routines are the clean water where we get to then actually make progress and not just the decluttering for the sake of decluttering or the tidying up and putting things away. I wouldn't even call it decluttering at this point. I would call it just tidying up, trying to organize the clutter, which we know, I think if you've been around for a while, you know that that's just not really possible. We can't organize our way out of clutter. If we have stuff that we don't need that we constantly keep shoving into closets, well, then it's going to keep coming back. And so routines help us cut through that noise because we can start to see the things that we don't use. It helps make decluttering so much easier. We can build in moments of decluttering. We can build in these routines that we're not the only one working on. We're not the only ones then running our house. Everybody knows what the plan is. Everybody knows what's expected of them. And it makes it so much better. All right. So now that you know why I'm passionate about routines, because it really has helped me through a tough time in my life where I just get really laser focused sometimes. I hyper fixate on things. I don't know if you know that about me, but I do. And so I will just go all in on something and I will like just kind of forget about other things. And so I need routines in my life to help me stay the course, to help me have a little more semblance of stability and regularity and things so that I don't ebb and flow and do the roller coaster, right? So
we live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum-sealed, flash-frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
It's more even keel. Yes, there's going to be good days. Yes, there's going to be bad days, but it makes it so much better. All right, so let's talk about why routines are so powerful, because I do think a lot of us underestimate them. We think routines are kind of boring. Like, I brush my teeth, I make my bed, I drink my coffee. I mean, coffee's fun. That's a fun routine. So not all routines are bad, but routines are actually doing something really sophisticated in our brain. They are automating decisions. And so I'm sure you've heard this statistic before, but it genuinely blew my mind when I first heard it. The average adult makes around 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000. That is an absurd amount of decisions. And if you are the default parent in your house, you know, the one who fields every what's for dinner question, where are my shoes, can I have a snack, what should I wear, where is that sweater I wore last Tuesday and I have to wear again today, researchers say that you are making significantly more than that. So 35,000 is the baseline. That is a lot of decisions. And so here's why it matters. A study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that the more choices a person made throughout their day, the more likely they were to give up, lose willpower, and struggle to push through. If you are the default parent, I mean, even if you're just a parent and you co-parent really well with your partner, you don't have the ability to give up and to not push through. You have little humans depending on you. And so this is the struggle, right? This is where it gets really tough. Your mental energy for decision-making is not unlimited. It is a resource and it depletes. And so when that happens, you get pushed to the back burner. I got pushed to the back burner, right? All these other things were more important than me and were more important than, you know, keeping my stuff going and at the forefront. And so this is why you can become completely exhausted by 4 p.m. and feel like you haven't done anything, but you have. You've been making decisions all day long. Small ones, big ones, invisible ones, ones that you feel matter, ones that you do realize, but then by the end of the day, you totally forget about them because your brain is running on fumes. And this is also why that pile of mail sits on the counter for 3 weeks, why the drawer that you keep meaning to deal with still sits full and you can barely close it and it drives you crazy and a little bit nuts every time you have to find something in there. These feel like procrastination, but a lot of the time they are just decision fatigue. Your brain has hit its limit and it has started taking shortcuts. A routine says you don't have to think about that anymore. It just happens. And when your brain is not spending all of that energy on the low-level maintenance decisions, it gets to show up for the things that actually matter, that actually light you up, your creativity, your kids, your relationships, the stuff that makes you feel good, yourself, right? You get to show up for yourself. That's why it's important. That's why routines are wonderful. And this is why I say routines make room for joy. It's not just a cute phrase. It is literally what is happening in your brain. Now, here's the part that nobody talks about. Most routines fail not because people are lazy or undisciplined. They fail because of perfectionism. So John Acuff wrote a book called Finish, and I believe I've talked about it on the podcast before, and he ran a 30-day challenge and discovered something really surprising. When do you think people quit on this 30-day challenge? Do you think they quit like a week in, maybe 2 weeks in? You know, stuff started getting really hard. They were quitting on day 2. Day 2. They would do 1 day of the challenge and quit the next day. And he calls it the day after perfect because day 1 feels great. You're motivated, you're fresh, you're all in. You know, you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I mean, come on, we've all done this before, right? And then day 2 comes Maybe you slept in, maybe your kitchen reset didn't happen, maybe you ate something you weren't supposed to if you're trying to do a weight loss challenge, or you didn't hit the gym and you're supposed to be going every day. And instead of doing something you said you were going to do, I'm going to wake up on time, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to journal, I'm going to do all the things we say we're going to do, right? And of course we all, well, if you're like me, you take on way more than you should when you first start a challenge. You try to do 10 new things instead of one new thing at a time. I've learned my lesson, but that's how I used to do it. And so I totally get it. I get why people quit on day two, because instead of just picking back up, instead of saying, okay, whoopsies, I made a mistake and I maybe need to scale back, or maybe one of these things isn't working for me, maybe I should just try and like tweak the challenge a little bit. No, something in your brain says, well, I already broke that streak. It's ruined. So I might as well stop. Right? Have you been there? I've been there. That is perfectionism talking. And it will take out a routine faster than anything else. It's the number one thing that will make you stop before a routine even takes off. And again, routines don't have to be exactly the same for every single person. Your life is not the same as my life. So I will give you pointers and I will tell you things that have worked for me. But my hope is that you try them, figure out the part that works for you, keep that part, and then tweak the part that either didn't feel right for you, or, felt a little hard or felt a little too easy. I don't know. You pick what works for you and you tweak it to work for your family and your house and your life and what you do, because we are all different and we all live differently. We all like different things. We all like our brains function a little bit differently. So that is the thing. Perfectionism, just because someone else is doing it doesn't mean that's the way that it's supposed to work for you too. But the good news is that once you know that day two is the danger zone, you can plan for it. So you can decide in advance that missing a day is not failure. It just happens to be Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday's a hard day for me. And you get to pick it back up on Wednesday or whatever day works for you. Like if you're starting on Sunday, maybe then you go, you know what? Mondays are not the best day for me. Maybe I have a little more leeway for myself. And then you pick it back up on Tuesday. So now that we've talked about routines a little bit, and hopefully I've convinced you to come try them on for size, I want to talk about what a good sticky routine actually looks like. I want you to walk through 5 things that I look at when I'm building a routine that is going to actually last. And of course, because I want you to be able to remember this, it is an acronym. And so I call it the STICK framework, because it is genuinely what I want your routines to do. I want them to stick. I want you to be able to go back to them. I want it to be pretty much automatic for you. So S is to set your intention. Every successful routine starts with a clear purpose, not I want to be more organized, okay? I don't want us to have these bland expressions anymore. I don't want to be more organized. I don't want to declutter my whole house. That stuff is too vague. I want you to pick one specific problem that you want the routine to solve. One goal, one thing. So instead of, I want a cleaner house, maybe it is, I want to wake up to a clean kitchen sink every morning. Now, do you see how those two are completely different? A clean house could mean that you scrub your bathroom every day. It could mean that you dust the walls every day. It could mean that you're vacuuming and you're making all the beds and you're, decluttering every closet and you're lining everything up in rainbow order. It could be so many different things, right? But I want to wake up to a clean kitchen sink every morning. I can do that. That I can do. That I can plan for. That means I just need to load the dishwasher and make sure I have washed all the dishes and they're set off to dry. Okay, that's so much easier. My brain knows exactly where to go to problem solve instead of all of the different things that could mean a cleaner house, okay? So instead of I want to be less stressed, maybe it's, I want to spend the last 10 minutes before the kids get home doing a quick reset so that I'm not walking into chaos when we get back from after school. Small, clear, specific. That is your North Star. Small, clear, specific. I'm going to repeat it again. All right, so we're setting our intention, which means we're setting that clear purpose. All right, T is for think ahead. Now, this is the step most people skip, and it is so important, so you're not going to skip it, okay? Before you start the routine, I want you to actually visualize what your life looks like once it's working. Close your eyes for a second, and imagine it is a month from now. You have been sticking to this one small thing consistently. What does your morning feel like? What do you not miss about the way things used to be? I want you to really sit in that feeling, because your brain needs to believe it is possible before it is going to cooperate with you. Your brain wants to keep you safe. So if it doesn't think that your idea is possible, it is going to sabotage you. You are going to self-sabotage before you even get started. So you have to show your brain and say, hey, look, this is possible. And visualization, your brain really can't tell the difference between reality and this visualized reality. Okay? So give it a try. It's not woo. I promise it's not. I know. It's okay. It's just how habits form, right? We're priming our brain. So like if you had an old car and you used to have to put a little gas into it first, like to get it, like you're priming it. You're making it ready. Okay? You're making the future feel familiar. So it's easier to move toward it. If it feels scary, you will not do it. So make it feel less scary. Show your brain what's possible. Be like, oh, this is what we're doing. And look how amazing it feels. Now when I wake up in the morning, I can just go straight to making my coffee and I don't have to worry about the dirty dishes. That means it's easier to make breakfast. It's easier to like, that is like such a start of our day, right? If I don't have to deal with dirty dishes first thing in the morning, life changing, because it just starts you off on the right foot. Okay, try that one. I then is for investigate your why. So before you commit to a routine, I want you to get honest with yourself. Is this something that you actually want? Or is it something that you think you should want? Okay, again, we're not going for Pinterest perfect because it looks perfect, because it's pretty. We're going for something that you want because it's going to help your life. All right, here's something I want to tell you. You are not going to stick to a routine that is driven by shame. You're just not. If you say, I should be better at this, I should have it together, that energy is going to run out real fast, real fast. When you come up against something hard, those shoulds are not going to get you through it. But joy keeps you going. Joy is your why. And when you can change it to, I want to feel calm when I walk into my kitchen. I want to have a kitchen where I invite my kids in, where we can make cookies together on the weekends because I'm not so stressed out over a dirty kitchen. I don't walk into dirty dishes in the morning anymore. And so it starts my whole day off on the right foot. I feel so much better. I feel more in control. That joy is fuel, not a reward. So we have to start going for things that make us feel good, that put us in the right mindset throughout our day, that light us up. Again, if your pantry doesn't look like the Pinterest pantry, but it functions perfectly fine for your family, chef's kiss, love it, keep it. You don't have to have the things that everyone says you have to have in order to be happy. You just have to decide what makes you happy and go for those things. Okay? And that's what's going to carry you through when the day is really hard. All right? So think about that one. I is for intention. C is for connected. This is one of the most practical habit-forming strategies there is. I want you to attach your new routine to something you already do every day without thinking about it. You've probably heard this from Atomic Habits by James Clear, he calls it habit stacking. I call it piggybacking because I have a kid and she loved piggyback rides when she was little. And so it would get both of us from point A to point B, but she was on my back. She wasn't walking. I was. And so that's how I think about these routines, this habit stacking. I call them piggybacks because one, again, it's a joyful like memory for me. And so it makes me a little happier. Stacking doesn't necessarily make me happy. I feel like I'm doing work when I'm stacking, but piggybacking was fun. All right, so brush your teeth, right? When you're brushing your teeth, when you're making dinner, when you're dropping the kids at school, the moment when you walk inside the house after school pickup, these are anchor moments. And these are when you can connect a new routine to an anchor so that you're not adding another thing to remember. It just starts to become more part of the process. Like this happens, then this happens. If this, then this, right? You're just piggybacking on a habit that is already automatic. So every time you finish dinner, that's when you do a 5-minute reset. Maybe someone's cleaning the dishes and the rest of you are tidying up the house. Every morning when you pour your coffee, maybe you spend 2 minutes dealing with the counter. If you're like me, you empty the dishwasher. That's when I empty the dishwasher, is when I'm making my morning coffee. You're not reinventing your day. That's the point. You're just adding small intentional moments to a moment that already exists in your day. Now, again, I would recommend you do one at a time. Don't say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to add this habit to my morning coffee, and I'm going to add this habit to brushing my teeth, and I'm going to add this habit to, you know, getting in the car, because that's too much for your brain to take on. So one at a time. Tomorrow, when I make my coffee in the morning, all right, I'm going to get up 5 minutes early, I'm going to make my coffee, and I'm going to empty the dishwasher. Let's see how that goes, right? Try them on for size and see how they fit. And if it fits, keep it. And if it doesn't, try something different tomorrow. And then finally, K is for keep it manageable. So I cannot say this enough. Small beats big every single time. It was kind of what I was just talking about, right? Don't try to do too much, because you will just, you'll stop. Your brain will be like, nope, shut down, I'm done, right? One load of laundry folded every evening, that's going to make a big difference for you. The junk drawer cleared out on a Tuesday night, huge. That's going to be huge. That's it. It's your whole goal. One little thing. And when you hit it, you get to add the next thing. So like I was just saying, try the coffee in the morning with the dishwasher. If it works, great. Tomorrow, then you can say, okay, I'm going to try this one load of laundry day. One load a day of laundry. I got that all mixed up. Oh, lad. I'm going to put in a load of laundry when we, like, right after I do empty the dishwasher. And then we're going to wake the kids up. And then by the time I get back from drop off, or I get back from work, or whatever your day it looks like, then you say, okay, I'm going to change the laundry. And then once it's dry, I'll set a timer, and then I will take it out and I will fold it while we're watching TV as a family, or while my husband and I are watching a show, we'll fold it together. Or I'll have all the kids help me fold it right after dinner, something like that. So you can start setting up these routines that work well for you. Okay. And then, like I said, once you hit that, then you add the next thing. Don't try to do too much at once. You're building momentum. You are not sprinting to a finish line, because that finish line is constantly moving. If you are sprinting, trying to hit this imaginary finish line, you will be exhausted, because life is going to keep lifing. You have every day, you're going to have new tasks that come up. Your kids are going to grow. You're growing. All of these things are happening. And it's this cycle. So we just have to get more into a rhythm and feel okay with the fact that it's not linear. It's not a race. There's not a finish line. We're just trucking right along, making room for joy, so that that cycle doesn't feel endless and that cycle doesn't feel pointless. That's the point. We need to have joy so that we are happy in our life. Because again, that dip, I don't want big dip. I want just a little trough. I'm not so delusional to think that I won't have a little dip in my happiness during this time of life when it's your 40s and 50s, like, some parts are fantastic, but some parts are hard, because I think we're a little nervous about our future and like raising our kids and raising good kids and what's the world like for them right now. And right now everything's really scary. And so I think, you know, it's adding to that trough. So I'm trying to not have a deep valley, just a little dip. All right. So hopefully you can join me in that. All right. So now that we have our stick routine, I want us to talk about how decluttering and routines work together, because they can be really powerful. They're not separate things. They're actually partners. And so when your home has too much stuff, your routines get harder. There's more surfaces to clear. There's more decisions to make. There are more things you're tripping over, literally, mentally, emotionally. This is why decluttering first, even a tiny little bit, makes your routines so much more sustainable, because the less stuff you have, the less you have to clean. It's kind of a miracle. It's kind of a miracle pill. If there was one, this is it. Less stuff, you are less inundated with all of it. There's so many less decisions. There's less to deal with. There's less fighting over things. Like, it's so much better. I talk about this all the time. So hopefully you all know this is why it is so much better. And if not, go back and check out some other episodes. But if you have ever started a cleaning routine and thought, this takes me forever, I've been there. I can't keep up with this. It's just too much. I would like to lovingly suggest that maybe the problem might not be your routine. It might be that there is still too much stuff. So perhaps we need fewer things to manage. We need, you know, just less, because then your routines will take less time. You won't have to clear everything off before you clean. You just get to start cleaning. And if you've never lived that way, I know that that sounds super far-fetched, but I promise it is possible. And routines that don't take long are the ones that actually stick. So that's where this part starts to become more fun. And it starts to become effortless, dare I say. As in, the work feels like it becomes so natural that it stops feeling like work. Okay? That's my goal for you. My goal for you is to put routines into place in your home so that they feel second nature and they no longer feel like work. All right, so if you're hearing all of this and you're thinking, great, Deanna, that sounds fine. That sounds lovely. I would love to be able to do that. But how do I actually build all of this in my home? Where do I even start? Well, that's why I created Effortless Home. So yes, of course, shameless plug here. But if you do not know how to do routines, if you are like, my house is running me, this will show you how to run your home in 20 minutes a day. I know, it sounds pretty unbelievable. But once you start to put these routines in place, that's what happens. It doesn't take you all day. You don't have to be that weekend warrior anymore. You don't have to do all of the work. It is so much better. I would love to invite you over to this side of the world, like just this side of reality. It's not a Pinterest perfect version of a system. It's real life, and it is how actual humans live with a system. You know, this is how you put it into place. It's only $27 right now. It's designed to become something that you can get through in a weekend and implement the same week. I'm not trying to give you this huge course that is going to take you forever. You're going to start. And then on day two, day after perfect, you're going to throw in the towel. No, this is going to help you work through and create the right systems that work for you in your home. Okay. So if you want the link, the easiest thing to do would be go to Instagram. Want to be clutter-free over there. Comment the word home on any of my recent posts and I'll send it to you straight to your DMs. Or of course, you can find the link in the show notes. All right. So if you are constantly managing your house and you feel like this is just dreaded work and you don't enjoy it, this course was made for you. All right. So check it out. Of course, you don't have to. I've got lots of information here on the podcast, but if you want the shortcut, give it a try. All right. And before I leave you, I do want to talk about the fact that the goal is not a perfect home, right? Like I said, it's not an Instagram perfect life, right? I think we all have Instagram worthy lives. I don't think we think that, but I think our lives are beautiful and can be beautiful. And if home feels like it's too much, then we just need to simplify it. We need to have less stuff. We need to have the right routines in place and work so that your home feels like you. It feels like a reflection of you and your family, a home that holds your family well, a home that has breathing room in it for actual joy to show up. Clutter crowds that out. Chaos crowds that out. But routines help you create space. And in that space, really good things can happen. All right. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about how we create lives that we love, not in the big dramatic moments, but in these tiny, consistent daily ones. The clean sink, the folded laundry, the Sunday evening reset. I know none of those things sound sexy, and I know they all feel small, but they're kind of part of the whole thing, right? They're part of building a life, building a home, and sustaining a family. Those, having that as the baseline, has been so wonderful as a springboard for the joy, for the moments that happen, for the laughter, for the fun, for the, you know, interactions within our family when we invite people over and have social moments. That was like one of the really hard things for me. When my home was chaotic, we didn't invite people over. I kind of called it my hermit life, you know, and we just felt so isolated. But when we have routines in place and my home feels good, I feel good about it, I am more willing to open myself up, to be more vulnerable, to be more social, to just enjoy all of it more. I'm less stressed, which means my family's less stressed, and it's just a really great place to be. So I really want that for you. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for everybody who listens to this show. I want you to feel amazing in your life and feel joy. And honestly, with all the stuff that is happening in the world right now, joy is one of the things that we can give ourselves, that we can take back, that we can say, no, I am not going to let you destroy my joy. I know that's really hard when there's a lot of pain and suffering going on in the world, but I really hope that for you. I still really hope for joy in the moments, because I think it is the thing that sustains us through the hard times. I love the musical Rent, and the opposite of war isn't peace, it's creation. And for me, a lot of like, I think you have to create from a place of joy. And so that really is kind of where I'm at with all of this. And I have some really fun things coming out. So I think you're going to love it. I'm kind of excited. I have something in the works. It's a little bit related to everything we talked about today, but it really focuses on joy. and cultivating joy and sharing joy and all of that. So I'm not going to give too much away yet, but if you're on my email list, you are going to hear about it first. So if you're not on my email list, I will have a link to join that in the show notes. I think I'll be giving away my 5-minute calm home reset. So if you don't have that and you're not on my email list, if you're on my email list, I'm going to send it to you. But if you're not, click for that link and I will send you that as well. So that's totally free. And that way you'll know about the new fun thing I'm working on. I'm going to probably a couple weeks, I'll let you know more about that. All right, friends, that is a wrap on episode 303. If this episode resonated with you, I would love if you would share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Screenshot it, send it to your group chat, text it to your sister, whatever. That kind of sharing genuinely means the absolute world to me. It just helps me know that what I'm doing and how I'm showing up for you is helpful to you. And if it's not, let me know what you want to hear about. Again, DM me on Instagram, send me an email. I'm not that hard to find. So absolutely let me know because I do this show for you. I really do. And so I want to know. I want to help you the most that I can. The mostest. All right. Come find me on Instagram. I'm at wannabeclutterfree and tell me one routine that you are committed to this week. I do read every comment. I absolutely love hearing from all of you. And so come find me. Come join me. All right. Next week, I've got another great episode. It's going to be another solo episode. So make sure you're subscribed so it lands in your feed on Wednesday. All right. Until then, remember that joy is the fuel, not the reward. Take good care of yourself. All right. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.